ABC Radio Australia.
Welcome back to Pacific Beat. I'm your host, Aggie Dubol. We talk about Greenpeace. Their Pacific arm says it stands with Pacific countries in their desire to see the developed world commit trillions of dollars to climate finance at this year's United Nations Climate Conference. This year's gathering, known as COP29, is being held in Baku, Azerbaijan, and climate finance is expected to be the big issue. Shiva Gounder, Greenpeace's head of Pacific, is there and says the talks got off to a rocky start on day one, with rules governing carbon credits rushed through without delegates able to debate them.
It is exciting because there's an important kind of decision to be made by the end of this COP around what is quite important, especially for developing countries in terms of the climate finance. But it's been a bit of an eventful COP already, eventful start to the COP. Like yesterday, the gavel was put down for one of the items that has been unresolved for quite some time in the process. And it's about voluntary markets, it's about carbon credits, et cetera, Article 6. But these kind of gaveling very integral decisions to address the climate crisis is a little problematic. The presidency tried to push through the Article 6 with very concerning issues still in the text. You had the carbon offsets there, you had carbon capture storage, you had marine geoengineering, etc. And all of these were rushed to be pushed through without engaging in the process, which meant some parties were extremely not happy with how the process went and that text got adopted.
And when you say gavel, that meant pushed through without discussion.
So usually like when a decision gets through, it's like there's a gavel that gets put down to say, now we can't really discuss the text in deep detail apart from just further kind of certain additions and questions to be answered. But most of the text gets adopted.
And how do you feel about that?
Yeah, like I said, I think it's quite problematic to rush through some really important decisions that haven't been resolved for decades, in a way, without sorting some of the diverging factors in the text. And in this case, things like carbon capture storage and carbon offsets and marine geoengineering is the false solutions that a lot of developed countries have been trying to push through, which will impact quite a lot of small island developing states, especially like the Pacific.
Are you worried this could set a precedent for the rest of the meeting?
I hope it doesn't. I hope there's deep discussions, especially in something that is quite important and vital for small island developing states, and that's climate finance. And at this COP, the attention is on this new collective quantified goal where the world needs to get together and address the financing needs, especially if we are trying to transition away from what has caused this climate crisis, fossil fuels, but also in terms of who pays. In the Paris Agreement, it's very clear that the developed countries need to put money for developing countries. And this finance, will it be grants-based and highly concessional loans, or will it be private finance when developing countries are clearly in quite a lot of debt burdens? And this may, if it goes towards an investment kind of goal, it perpetuates the debt cycle. So there's clear asks from developing countries in terms of this climate finance goal. And hopefully there is a meaningful process and a meaningful engagement in the process by states rather than pushing through quick decisions just for the sake of achievement at a COP.
What is Greenpeace's desired outcome on that issue of climate finance?
Yeah, look, I'll speak on behalf of Greenpeace as a member of the Greenpeace Australia Pacific team, and I'm part of the Pacific. And the Pacific is very clear on its demands, and it's very aligned with our asks, which is that this goal needs to be majority grant-based and/or highly concessional loans as part of the grant-based package. Secondly, it needs to take into account special circumstances of small island developing states. And this is because small island developing states are impacted by climate change and very improportionately. And there's special circumstances that need to be taken into account in terms of finance. There needs to be a floor that needs to be put on how much money needs to go to especially small island developing states as well as least developed countries. And then there's things like the quantum, which is the number, how much money needs to be put into place yearly. And there's a clear ask by Pacific Island states, but also what they call the Alliance of Small Island States, which is the money needs to be in the trillions to address this climate crisis. If the money is quite low, then it just is perpetuating the same cycle of the developed countries not putting enough resources, but benefiting from damaging the climate with its obsession with fossil fuels, etc., and subsidizing fossil fuel industries.
And that is Greenpeace head of Pacific, Shiva Goundan, at COP29, speaking to Liam Fox. As we heard, this year's COP conference is focused on finance, looking at funding initiatives to curb rising temperatures. But it also has some notable absentees, including leaders from the US, China, India, Europe and Australia. Washington's climate envoy says incoming President Donald Trump will likely reverse many policies aimed at fighting climate change. Papua New Guinea Alopi Latukefu is the Director of Justice and Advocacy at the Edmund Rice Centre.
Well, there's a lot of energy. Obviously, the collection of people who are focused on these issues is bringing a lot of energy to the table. I think there's a sense of reality that this is a tough fight, and the ability to achieve the goals that have been clearly laid out by many in the developing world, but also the Pacific in particular, on the quantum of required support for things like loss and damage, but also the new targets under the MCQG, I think it's called, are really important goals to try and achieve at least movement on.
Yeah, of course, you are from Papua New Guinea, and the Pacific is really on the front lines of the impacts of global warming with rising sea levels. But there is pessimism, and Papua New Guinea pulled out because they were frustrated over, quote, empty promises and inaction. So is there a sense of hopelessness there?
No, I don't think there's a sense of hopelessness. I think that the PNG's decision was one that was considered carefully by every country, and I won't make comment on the reasons for why they pulled out. But I've noticed many other countries are represented here at the COP, and the Pacific sees the importance of having a presence in these important discussions. And certainly, should the COP eventually come to the Pacific, this COP in Baku will be a very important meeting leading into Australia-Pacific hosted COP in 2026.
And can you give us perhaps a sense of what might be achieved in Baku this time around in terms of financing? Do you see significant improvements from the $100 billion that's currently there annually to be of use to fight global warming?
You know, I think the proof will be in the pudding in terms of negotiations. It's not looking that great in terms of, as you say, those who are present here and participating at the conference from some of the larger polluters and groups that have an interest in the broader issues around climate action, particularly in terms of defending their own economic interests. But again, the flip side of that is who covers the cost of the damage inflicted on countries like the Pacific, who have done very little in terms of contributing to the problem, but ultimately are bearing the cost of that action by the world in terms of fossil fuel use. And one of the big issues continuing to be one of importance is the phase out of fossil fuels and the need for that to be a particular focus alongside, obviously, the compensation need required to those countries and those communities that will see their livelihoods and potentially their lands lost as a result of climate change.
Yeah, what's been the response, particularly from developed countries, to that fund that is required? I mean, Pacific Island nations, as you mentioned, they want their loss and damage fund to be included under the NCQG, that new collective quantified goal that's a cornerstone of the Paris Agreement. Are they going to sort of budge in that direction?
You know, I think that we're hopeful that Australia and like-minded will come to the table with a significant contribution to the Loss and Damage Fund, and that it will be included as a sub-goal, but also that small island developing states will be a very important part of the decisions made in terms of the thinking of how to respond to this very important issue and this very important quantum of support to those countries who are facing the most impact and the existential threat of climate change at this time.
Alopi, before I let you go, you know, there are so many leaders of the big polluting nations, as you mentioned earlier, they are absent from this conference in Baku, where you are, including our Prime Minister here, Anthony Albanese. Simply, what would be your message to them, if you could speak to them directly?
I think in terms of these meetings, there is a collection of humanity at these meetings that is here clearly because they know that this is the most important issue facing the world now. And for those leaders who are leaders of countries around the world, you will not be avoiding the impacts of climate change, and we are seeing it across the board. And so your leadership and people like Australia and like-minded need to show that leadership, despite perhaps some of the changes we're seeing in other countries that may impact the world in terms of decisions made around climate change action. But countries like Australia need to step up, and I hope that our Prime Minister will take the opportunity to take a leading role, along with Chris Bowen as Climate Change Minister and those involved in the negotiations around both action on climate change, but also support to loss and damage and other compensation.
And that's Papua New Guinean Alopi Latugefu, the Director of Justice and Advocacy at the Edmund Rice Centre, speaking there to ABC's Girish Salawani.